So that has to do with the reference what we named the episode this week. Which is, we're episode 243, Enchantress is knocking at your door.
That's right.
And reference Beauty and the Beast.
And you answer the life or the long question of Paul McCartney that someone's knocking at the door, it's Enchantress this whole time.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of anticlimactic.
Oh. Yeah.
Crickets. So.
All right. Yes.
Yeah.
No, I was just so that's why.
It's a soft opening this week, huh?
Yes.
That's right.
Totally soft opening. Less extreme nerd, more Paul McCartney in the Wings.
Exactly.
So I have to ask, we're talking about Beauty and the Beast. Who's the gay character? Is it LeFou?
It is LeFou.
Yeah, it's LeFou.
Well,
okay.
He was definitely lots and lots of gay.
Well, he's touchy-feely. He's it's gay in the sense of Frodo Baggins and Sam.
Yeah. He has the whole, energy. Like, song thing that he does about Gaston. I mean, come on.
Well, it does make more sense. But he's not the one who does the kiss.
They don't do... Did they kiss?
He didn't kiss.
Yeah, they didn't kiss.
I don't recall any kiss.
There was a kiss.
I don't remember seeing
with
it.
With whom?
Gaston kissed some guy at the end of his song about him.
I don't recall.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
I actually had to look it up.
Was there tongue action?
No, it was like a cheek. It was French.
It was a... Oh, wow.
That's it?
Yeah, that's not a real kiss.
Wow. That's pretty gay.
Man, we need to boycott that.
I know.
Oh, too late.
Kick it out of theaters.
Well, for the rest of you, I haven't seen it. I'm standing by my strong Christian values.
I'm going to do the appropriate thing, and having watched it, I'm going to say that other people shouldn't watch it.
Yeah, that won't make it
true boycotter.
But just for the bestiality and Stockholm syndrome.
There wasn't
syndrome.
Very much bestiality. Like, it wasn't depicted on screen. I assume there's a lot of action going on off screen.
Yeah, I know. There was no on screen.
I enjoyed watching this show. Like, it was pretty much just Beauty and the Beast and, like, some additional songs that they threw in there.
Yeah. Well,
okay, counterpoint, real quick. Is it still bestiality if he's really a man as a beast?
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Or is it furryism?
I was going to say furries.
Well,
no, he's still a legit beast.
Well, then a Buddhist can just have mate with animals because they're like, well, it's their cycle. They're actually a man, but they're trapped in a beast's body.
That's a good
right
point.
Now,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so. Furry is a costume. Bestiality is the animal.
Yeah, because if the curse wasn't fulfilled, he would have been stuck as that.
I wonder if the taboo would exist if animals could express themselves as well as humans.
Well, I think that it's good because there's no interspecies pregnancy, and so it's the ultimate prophylactic.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the same problem with gays, and they still have problems with that. There's no, like...
Bestiality?
No, there's no pregnancy within gay populations, so at least not... unplanned.
Well, I'm not speaking about the societal view of the ethics of the situation. I don't think the French would be happy with a giant beast mating with a French woman.
You've obviously never met a French person.
Yeah.
No, I take that back. There could be...
They're just jealous.
I have a French last name.
Or an Italian person.
No.
I'm just saying, from his perspective, it's safe. They don't have to worry about... Because all of his servants are like instruments, like their dressers and stuff like that. Right. It'd be a poor atmosphere to rear a child in. And so while he's cursed, he doesn't really have to worry about it because they're not going to bring a child.
I think it'd be an amazing
what
atmosphere.
What do you mean it's a poor atmosphere? Like,
it's a poor atmosphere.
The dresser won't fall on the baby. It will literally take care of the baby. How is that not a great thing for a baby?
It normalizes aberrant behavior. That aberrant behavior being A...
Possessed furniture,
yeah, and bestiality.
It is 15th century France, though. I mean, things aren't good anyway. I mean, if you got an animal with a bunch of talking furniture, that's probably better than like your typical parents in 15th century France.
Yeah, probably.
That's
probably.
True. That's true.
But it doesn't normalize aberrant behavior because it's not aberrant behavior. It's
bestiality
normal.
Is aberrant behavior. I'm sorry.
But not
I
if,
hate to break it
not
to
if
Mike.
It is the norm.
That's not the norm if it's just that castle. Yeah.
In this castle,
you don't know.
It's
they didn't say the witch never did this to anybody else.
It's true. Yeah. There may be a collection of castles with cursed people.
I know the enchantress
and a lot
cursed
of enchanted
everyone.
Items.
Look at you with your cultural relativism.
I know, right?
Yeah.
But I did have something else. No, actually, the gay character was Cogsworth.
Well, yeah, he's
the clone. He's literally the actor. Is
yes. Always, and actually, yeah. Even when the girl ran up to him, he was like, "Back, turn me back into a clock. Turn me back into a clock." He's the gay character.
He could have just hated his wife.
Yeah, that's how I.
That's what I was thinking.
Could be both.
Yeah. Because he is in that old age where he's just like, man, I've hated you for like 30 years.
And Viagra won't be invented for like 300. Yeah. So.
Just his annoying companion.
But yeah. But
forgot about him.
I assume that's how Anna feels about me.
Assume?
What do you mean?
Just this annoying companion.
Companion that you can't get rid of.
I married him. I might as well stick around.
No, I find you very entertaining, though. I'll keep you around.
Points at me and laughs all the time. Look what he's doing now, the idiot.
I think we all do, Ted.
Yeah, that's all right. Laughing with me, laughing at me. It's all the same as long as I don't notice.
Yeah.
No, I actually go with as long as you're laughing.
Yeah.
Suddenly you're happier. I don't care.
Yeah.
Well, all of my jokes are funny to me, and that's the important part.
Yes.
I don't care about you people. Man, it's going to be hard not to swear. I've been in Vegas all week, and like we've just been cursing up a storm. So I apologize if I let them slip.
Just you located in Vegas brings out swearing, or the people around you?
The people with whom I associated. And then we went to that Dick's Last Resort, and they like the waiters treat you like crap. So you treat the waiters like crap, but not like honestly like crap, just kind of like in a lighthearted
way. They roast you? Is that what it's like?
Yeah, they put on like hats and they put hats on you and the right crap on it. So mine said that, it said, I touch myself to my level 80 warlock in World of Warcraft.
Ted, I'm proud of you because you went through a succession of clauses without ending any of those clauses with a preposition.
You're welcome.
Yeah, that's good job.
Welcome, you are.
What?
I don't know.
How long were you in Vegas?
I went Monday, came back yesterday, so like
4 days.
4 days, yeah. But I mean, we were pretty much just driving yesterday, so saw a couple shows. It was a lot of fun.
Nice. No prostitute in the trunk scenario.
Well, I mean, I can't say with my wife here.
Yeah, you know how that works.
Remember, really? What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Yeah.
Unless you bring.
I think.
Unless you bring Vegas.
Yeah.
Home.
I've heard some of your stories, Ted. She would be okay with that.
Yeah.
She stayed in the trunk. That was all. So back on Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah.
Sorry, my bad.
Man. People shouldn't worry though. Like it turned me gay, so there's legitimate concern. But I don't think it'll turn everyone's children gay.
Well, we did have coitus in the theater.
Yeah.
We're watching it. We're two straight guys. I was like, I'm feeling pretty straight. Joe, I assume because he's married to a female that he's pretty straight.
Yep.
And so we're watching that, and then we turned gay.
And then you reached into the popcorn bucket, found a surprise, and went, oh,
exactly.
What the hell?
It was a pleasant surprise. That was nice. Even more surprising.
Nice.
Well, there we go. Now we're opening up. We have our first gay couple.
Exactly.
I would say there are a lot of appalled families around, but it turned everyone gay.
I know. Yeah. So. No one. Yeah. Everyone in those beautiful 2 hours.
And that kiss that you missed.
Yeah.
But everybody that I've asked, so did you see the guys kissing? And they're like, what guy's kissing?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I had a big argument with someone about that, about, you know, they're saying, well, they're normalizing the gay lifestyle. And I'm like, all people should be included in the fact that you, like, want to boycott it because it acknowledges that other people who think differently than you exist is kind of abhorrent on your end, but...
I just like that the boycott's working, considering it made like $170 million over the weekend.
It's like the largest March opening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There are so many, like, it's the biggest and best that, like, I get so confused. I'm like, wait, was this the best-selling movie ever? Or is that one? What's going on?
It's true. Like, every movie's breaking records. They're like, another box office record? What?
Well, this record was specifically set for this movie.
Yeah. So they usually... have these records in that it's like for this month or for this day.
Yeah, this weekend release.
And so,
well, there is times when movies are not so great. You know, when you like go July blockbuster, you have to be one of the big ones.
Right.
You know, March, yeah.
March is warm enough though. You get some.
It's
good
almost
ones in
the summer blockbuster, not quite.
It's the highest grossing movie with anthropomorphic
anthropomorphic furniture.
And if it gets nominated, it'll be the second time it's been nominated.
Yeah, this isn't going to get nominated.
You really don't think so?
No. Maybe, well, there might be a
I bet
song
it gets nominated for
nominated.
Music again.
Yeah, there's music. costume.
Yeah, that's true.
There's a lot of stuff. I mean, it was still a very pretty movie.
Yeah, it was. I enjoyed it.
I was thinking of, like, the big six, like, director, writer.
No.
Yeah.
No. True. I mean, it's
come
almost
on, storyline. It's got to get storyline.
It's
right?
almost a one for one with the original. It has like three extra songs, and they resolve some of the issues that everyone brought up with the original one.
Kind of resolve them. What they introduce their own issues by resolving those issues.
So in the original, he was cursed at 11, and then 10 years had passed. He aged, or no, 15 years had passed. He aged, but Chip didn't.
Oh, the little
cup. Yeah, the little cup. This one, nobody aged.
So he was still 11 years old. That's a problem.
Yeah. Oh, no. He was 25.
Okay. Yeah. And we've got one other thing going on.
Yeah, I know. What's the other stuff?
Why were the servants cursed?
It's because she was cursed.
It was addressed in the cartoon as like, okay, your master's kind of a jerk, so I guess you're all getting cursed too.
Exactly. No, I think your master's a jerk. Because in the cartoon, it was, you didn't open the door and let me in. In this one, she's like, I just need a room and help me out, please.
And he also laughed at her and everything like that. He's rubbing it in her face.
But it is kind of a rude move to be like, sorry, you work for a jerk. Lots of people work for
That's
jerks.
Right, servants.
Yeah.
That's your lot in life. And so,
but the flower was the other thing I thought was weird. Because, it's been, or no, I guess it was 5 years, wasn't it?
No, well, I was going to say that,
it
too.
It was 10 years.
Like, how come he had a rose for all these years, and then it's fine, and then, like, 3 days, like, those petals are dropping.
But every night, they drop.
Yeah, they're just...
No, just imagine. The original rose had 3,060
petals
on
it.
It was, like, the weirdest-looking flower.
I know, it just, like, ballooned out of it there.
So where'd all the petals go, though? Like, they should have been at the bottom of the little...
They were. That's why that was a plot hole.
They were kind of, like, 10 years worth of petals instantly falling and turning old. They're gonna crumble, and they're gonna.
You'd at least see some of
all the dust came from.
Yeah, it was in an airtight. Yeah.
That was not airtight.
It seemed airtight.
Well, it was a bell jar.
Not airtight.
Airtight bell jar.
They use them for vacuum chambers.
On that table, not airtight.
Yeah, it even felt like towards the end of the movie, there was like two petals in one day. Like they were just dropping. Everybody was like the ticking bomb.
Shaking.
Yeah. Apparently, it was an exponential curve of drop.
Exactly.
When he was shot and technically killed, they identified why he healed.
Why?
Because the beast was shot, not the dude.
No, because the enchantress actually reversed it and fixed him.
So he...
Yeah.
It was not that he was turned back into a human and still had wounds. It was she purposely reversed it, and she healed him.
She had a take back because she was like, when the last petal drops and...
Yep.
It's done. She's like, well, not really. The petal drops.
She's like, wait a minute. Did I hear I love you? Okay.
But in the cartoon, when he finds love, that's when he turns back.
No. Well, he has love, and she has the love back.
Yeah. That's when he finds love.
Yeah.
Okay. But she doesn't come back and, like, fix him or change him back.
No.
What do you mean?
In the cartoon. It automatically happens once...
No, she says, I love you.
Yeah.
And her tears drop.
Talking about the Enchantress.
Yeah. Oh, the Enchantress doesn't come back.
So how does she fix him?
I'm talking the new one.
Yeah,
not the old one.
She comes back in the new one.
Yeah, she goes back and heals.
That was a
plot
hole.
So he would have had to wait 10 years no matter whether he found someone to love him or not.
She's an enchantress.
No, she was actually living in the village that Belle's from.
She just happened to be passing by and noticed that he had fallen in love. Was like, here you go.
She was the homeless lady in the village. Yeah.
I like mine better.
No, fine.
But the village is uber far away from the
Well, they seem to transport themselves there pretty regularly. Like it takes half a day.
She's an enchantress.
That's a long walk.
No, okay.
I don't know if
it only takes half a day if you don't know the route.
It's a half a day through a haunted forest too.
No, I wonder
everyone is repeating this actually. Yeah, enchantress.
How come the wolves didn't eat all the village people too? You think they would at least try?
The crowd scared them off, and also
a large group of people.
I don't know. They could pick off a few of them.
That's right. They seem clever.
Grab the ones from the back.
Yeah. Wait, I got it. The Enchantress was with him, remember?
Yeah.
She was keeping him at bay.
It's true.
The Enchantress fix all the plot
holes.
I know.
So wait, does the stove still talk and like do all that stuff too?
No talking stove.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Wardrobe
piano.
Yeah, the harpsichord.
Yeah.
Harpsichord.
Harpsichord. Thank you.
I think it's just a harpsichord.
Candlestick.
It's a harpsichord.
Yeah. Harpsichord's like a piano style thing.
That's what it was.
I think the Enchantress like wanders back and forth because like she helped like Belle's dad like during the movie.
Yeah.
So like that might be part of what how she's like going back and forth and everything, like just kind of describing
on him.
Yeah, just like
you're like, have you found love yet? Oh,
no.
You kidnapped
how
someone.
How are you guys?
That's progress.
I wonder how many like skeletons of young maidens are in his face.
Well, no. Fathers of young maidens.
Yeah.
This is the moral of the story.
Or they didn't have young maidens, because so they're just, you know, old men.
I just don't see Pauper Beast being nearly as successful as Very Rich Beast, because he basically won her with his very large library.
Yeah.
So, yeah. He had
magical library.
Magical library.
In this one, they introduced a few more of the enchanted items, like a book that all you have to do is put your hand on and think, and you will appear there. You basically transport.
Yeah, I want to see the Outrigger version of this, where she goes off to a little hut, and the guy's kind of rude to her, and she's like, "You're cursed too. Gotta find true love." And no one is happy with his hut. Like, lots of people drop by.
No, they forget about his hut, remember?
Yeah,
that was the other thing is that they identified is that her spell made everybody forget. It wasn't just like, well...
Oh, yeah, and then they all got their memories back.
Belle forgets that she's in love with him?
No.
No,
when he's
the,
turned into...
Yeah, all the village people forgot about the castle.
He was actually the prince over the area. He was the ruler.
Yeah, he taxed the village.
Mm-hmm.
So they had forgotten, and then they remembered when he was turned back into the prince. So like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
Whoops.
This douche.
And they remembered what a jerk he was?
This like, freaking guy.
I know. It is even addressed at the beginning of the movie. He is overtaxing them. Mm-hmm. He didn't care.
That's how he got all of his money.
Yeah.
And that's why they forgot about their loved ones, because some of the village people worked there, which just shows that the Enchantress is a big old butthole. That's a real villain, because you see it at the end where they're like, oh, we're reunited with their family. And then it's like, sorry, I cursed and broke your family for years because one guy was mean.
Sweet.
And it is.
More questions. Because
also, mom's 30 and dad's 60.
I was going to say, all the people that were in the castle are now 10
much
or 15
older,
years younger.
Yes.
Than they should have been.
Correct.
It's also really weird for a story about love on the inside, like seeing the beauty on the inside. Everyone is beautiful. It's like, okay, Beast, you're turned back into a super gorgeous guy. And then the Enchantress, she's the crone. She turns into a super gorgeous woman. And everyone who is ostensibly ugly is actually incredibly beautiful.
It's like they pulled them all from CW.
Yeah.
I know, it is true.
So the moral of the story is, if you find someone that's hideous and a jerk, you can change them.
Yep.
And they will eventually be pretty.
Physically super attractive.
Yeah. Literally,
so
they will physically be pretty.
There was one big thing with the cartoon that everybody asked when it first came out. If the Enchantress is going around changing jerks into beasts, why isn't she changed into a beast?
Because she's magical, and you'd have to have a more magical person turn her into it. But she also was ugly. So she's constantly going back and forth.
She made herself ugly. Like, it wasn't a permanent thing until she was nice to people.
Well,
and she has magic. If somebody turned her into a beast, she just turned herself back.
I think
back.
You can just apply Occam's razor and say she's a hypocrite.
Exactly.
We can't question the motives of the Enchantress. She does what she wants. She's got power. Like, she just does whatever she wants. It doesn't matter. She's just bored.
I know.
Probably immortal, wandering around like Q.
She's an ancient of chaos.
Yeah,
okay,
an agent of Q. She's from the Q continuum.
She's a fairy
she's
for the
there
time.
She's messing with people.
Salient.
And her setup wasn't really good, too, because, I mean, she should have done something like she's wounded on the road or like something like that, because everybody here I'm calling hypocrites if you act like essentially a homeless person busts into the middle of your party and he's like, be nice to me. I'd be like, okay, I'm calling the cops. Yeah. And then he's like, oh.
See, that's why I like the original story. Well, I was looking it up how to do it. So the children's story was printed before the original story, which is more like a novella. And the children's story is the same problem that Disney had. He wouldn't enter he wouldn't let her in. The original story is his dad died, his mom was taking care of warring stuff, and she told her son to take care of this evil fairy. Belle was actually a princess that was supposed to marry an evil king. The good fairy saved Belle, and she was raised by the farmer whose original child had actually died.
Ah.
So it was replaced. And the good fairy ended up helping out to break the curse. Because the evil fairy ended up turning the guy and the prince into a beast because he wouldn't marry it.
Yeah, that's a little bit better motivation. I know. That's what I thought. I was like, because seriously, if I had just walked home and there was like a homeless guy chilling in my house, I'd be like, yeah, you got to go.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry. Exceptional situation, though, is that they were in, was it 16th century France?
Something like that.
Yeah. Like, not letting her in, she probably would have died.
There's a lot of homeless people, though, in 16th century France.
Yeah, and a lot of them died. Actually, all of them died, actually. As
far as you know. Except for that one immortal one.
Yep,
you know, Duncan MacLeod, he's still alive.
Yeah. That's the Enchantress.
He's Scottish, though.
But he lived in France.
I think it's the same thing.
That's true.
I was driving through Salt Lake yesterday. We stopped and got some food. And I saw a sign. And I didn't catch the whole sign, to be honest, to be fair. But it appeared to say, save Salt Lake, vote no on homeless shelters.
I do vote no on homeless shelters.
So, I mean, someone needs to be turned into a beast right there.
Teddy, do the South Park approach and send them all to California. They'll be happier there.
It's warm. They won't freeze to death.
Yeah.
It's no soup for you in an unfunny sort of way.
Plus, in L.A., they have an entire street that they sleep on.
Yeah.
Or a beach.
It's a comfortable. Exactly. Yeah.
No, they're not allowed to sleep on the beach.
Oh, okay.
No, everything's denied.
I know.
they actually have homeless row, though, like where it's an entire like three blocks.
They should reserve
where all the homeless people go at night.
Give them a nice patch of beach. Hand out courtesy swimming trunks.
No.
Are you just trying homeless to trunks. Or what?
They have to be homeless trunks.
They could go to Portland with you, Alex. Like I told you when I went there, I saw where all the extras of Breaking Bad hang out. Across the street from Voodoo Donut, apparently.
Yeah, I'm not touching this.
All right, then we'll just move on. Alex, I have a question for you.
Yes?
So, the Nintendo Switch. How has your left Joy-Con been treating you?
Fine.
You haven't lost any.
No problems. And I always play disconnected. I never have it directly connected to the console.
See, I play disconnected. If I'm too far, you know how there's the three rings of death for the Xbox. This one's nickname is left Joy-Con issue because it's the left controller on the Switch that's losing connectivity.
Is that happening to you?
Yes. But apparently Nintendo's getting really good at changing them out, and they're already fixing it, but not fully identifying it for the next, because I'm guessing so many sold. So they basically just changed the production, because the boards are already different inside, different numbered and different things.
Well, that's exceptional, because I don't believe has there been a console failure of, like, a hardware failure like this for any Nintendo console before? All of them seem to have performed amazing.
Don't move your console with the disc inside. There's that.
Yeah.
But that's just because there was no like clamping on the disc.
That's a rule for anything.
Yeah.
Disc. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess you could maybe say the 3DS and Virtual Boy. Like they made some kids puke.
Yeah. Well,
that happened at launch, but I mean that was kind of meh.
And there was the whole Virtual Boy. I mean. That was just a hardware failure from start to finish.
Yeah, but that is fundamental design problem, as in no one wants it. It's a bad design. But I mean, as far as an actual defect in the hardware mechanisms, like Sony and Microsoft have frequently encountered, Nintendo seemed to be free of those. And so it's surprising to hear that.
I'm not sure everyone's actually like figure out exactly what's going on with it. Nintendo said that there's some off tolerance that's causing that, but I don't know what physical thing in your controller would make it so like it just randomly cuts out.
Wait, I have that because somebody ended up mailing their controller in, and they got their initial setup, and it was just all pretty and hunky dory inside. And like I said, the new generation has, you know, different coding for their board, but they sent it in and they got back their exact same controller, and this one has a little piece of foam over the wireless area. It is to stop radio wave issues.
Oh.
So the new ones are actually, with them being different boards, probably have all that built in. But that is literally the only thing that was found difference between the old controller, or before they sent the controller and when they got it back, was that little piece of foam.
Huh. You sure it's not like a grounding issue maybe then?
No. That, 'cause they pulled it off. Nothing else with it. All it was is it must have metal in it to block Wi-Fi or radio frequency interference. Nothing else to it. Just a piece of foam stuck over the Wi-Fi area on the board.
Are you foaming yours up?
I was thinking about sending it in. I was thinking about keeping it all legit because apparently they're fairly fast turnaround. Like this person, when they called in, they were like, oh, it's Saturday night. I'm finally done with my disconnectivity issue. Call them up. I'll probably leave a message. They'll call me back Monday. Nope. 6 o'clock at night, Nintendo answered.
Wow.
Yeah. And they're like, yep, we got a problem. Shipped out the return label, shipped them, took a couple days, got back. And when they, because they were really wanting their controller and wanting to play, they ended up buying a new one from Amazon. And that's where the different board was inside. Oh, yeah. So it was a different numbered board, and it doesn't have the foam piece. So they probably have already
remedied it.
Mm-hmm. But they are not officially saying anything about it.
Maybe you should encase your house in like a Faraday cage or something too.
But what if I like my aquarium? My aquarium will bother this.
Put a Faraday cage around your aquarium.
Oh, okay.
Is there a Bill? Do you have like any wireless equipment like directly next to your Switch? Because like I've got a Google On Hub right next to it, and then, like a bunch of consoles.
I have a UPS that could do something. I have the TV. I have the Xbox. That's officially it. But my cell phone is on me, and that'll destroy it.
Hmm? Isn't your router right over by the TV too?
Nope.
Oh,
not anymore.
Oh, okay.
That's in the basement. Best spot. If you have a multi-level house, put it in the basement.
Oh, really?
Because it broadcasts up.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
Oh.
That's why I have so much problem with connectivity in the basement.
There you go. Yeah.
Squirrel!
Yay!
Nice.
Yeah, you said up, I got excited.
Yeah. Well, when we talk about Mr. Ridley Scott and his new movies.
Alien Covenant?
Yeah. Did you hear about what he said?
What?
There's going to be 4 more.
No, I didn't know about that.
Directed by him?
Yeah. It's all his. They're letting him run with it now.
What is it with the...
It started
80s
his career.
Sci-fi but directors.
This is his baby. He's been loving this.
James Cameron's doing the same thing with Avatar. He's doing 4 back to back to back to back.
Wait. I'm sorry. Avatar was an 80s science fiction.
No. Directors.
The directors of the 80s sci-fi.
What did he direct?
In the 80s?
Terminator.
Yeah, Terminator.
Okay. Yeah. I'm not good with names. I don't. I'll ask next podcast, too.
Also did the water one.
Waterworld?
Oh, The Abyss.
He didn't do that. His career.
I know, James Cameron.
Wasn't Kevin Costner Waterworld? I know he's in it.
Yeah. He didn't direct it, but that was Kevin Reynolds, I think, who did Waterworld.
I loved that movie so
much. Yeah,
I
like Waterworld.
James Cameron could have made Waterworld a lot better.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. But
he loves
lots
sea.
Of explosions.
So Ridley Scott's going down that long path too.
But apparently he's going to fill in a bunch of the holes that is currently in the prequels. And it sounds like they're going to build up so they can also get Sigourney Weaver back into it.
Of course, because she's the common denominator between these two directors.
So is it canon that the predators are actually setting the aliens on planets just so that they can play around with them? Or is that just like kind of a side thing?
It's a side thing because they're doing a different approach for how they came out.
So that was the premise of ABP.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but
Ridley doesn't recognize them.
And I think ABP was just that, you know, 80s thing of like, oh, well, what if Jason versus Freddy and Aliens versus Predator?
See, but AVP was so much better than Jason versus Freddy.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Is it a high bar to hurdle?
I know.
The bar was set pretty low. I'll give you that.
Yeah, I set for Covenant, though.
I did like how they were doping up Jason to keep him asleep. So that that was pretty good.
What else is the other movie he's doing with Harrison Ford?
He's not doing that. I was just going to say that. Oh, that's why he's not doing Blade Runner.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because depending on how Blade Runner goes, whether they're going to identify him as a replicant.
Well, you know what? Because Ridley Scott said, even though the universe is because Blade Runner is based on a Philip K. Dick book, that has nothing to do with Alien. But Ridley Scott said, yeah, that is the Earth of the Alien universe.
Yeah,
is Blade
Runner.
They
have the android reference and everything like that.
So Harrison Ford's career should have ended with the Crystal Skulls.
It should have ended before Crystal's
fault. He accepted the movie. He read the script and went, yeah, go ahead and finish
it. He probably didn't read it. I doubt he read Star Wars script either.
Somebody
he just was lucky.
Well, no, maybe he thought... actually, he probably did it going, so this is the last one. This will end it, right? Okay, I'm in.
So, there was that movie, going back to the Ridley Scott thing. I think it's called Life. And it has Deadpool in it. Well, not dead.
Ryan Reynolds.
Reynolds. And it, like, in space, and they go to Mars or
something. Oh, that has Jake Gyllenhaal, and that's not Ridley Scott.
It's not Ryan Reynolds, it's Jake Gyllenhaal.
No, they're both in it.
It has them both in it.
Yeah, they're both in it.
They're there,
Okay, so that's not an alien movie?
I
thought maybe that was an alien movie.
No, it is a movie about an alien, just not the acid.
So this isn't what we're talking about.
No.
All right, I just wanted to make sure, because... It seemed like a setup for an alien movie, and I wouldn't have been surprised if it would have been like this is the first aliens ever showing up, but they burned up in the atmosphere.
No, this feels more like the intro to Spider-Man movie with with Venom. Yeah, this is Venom right here.
This is Venom.
It's interesting that we're talking about this though, because guess what I watched last night?
Spider-Man?
Not Spider-Man, but pretty close.
Care Bears?
No. It was the girl with the dragon tattoo. Because I watched that last night, too.
That would be quite a coincidence, but I didn't watch that.
No.
You watched more Beauty and the Beast.
I might have done that, but no. I don't actually own more Beauty and the Beast, either one. So
What'd you watch?
Okay.
Alien.
I can't watch the first half. It's too boring for
me.
What?
I like Aliens better. I like the last half of Alien. I can't.
I'm fine with you liking Aliens better. They're both great movies. Yeah. I'm not fine with your previous statement of I don't like the first half of Aliens.
The first
half
is just
slow.
Yeah.
Purposefully. It adds to the atmosphere.
Yeah, it's the tension.
It's like Lady in the Water. It's slow at first.
But it's really good, actually. And so,
it's like Clockwork Orange. I have tried multiple times. Oh, I cannot get through that movie.
No, Clockwork Orange is one of my favorite movies of all time.
This is funny because I feel that way about Black Mirror, but you're talking about you're talking about these other ones. It's like angering me. I know how you guys feel now. Like the shoes.
I know.
Like you can't talk bad. Like, oh my gosh, you just can't do that.
I have the same problem with another movie, and I actually Lord of the Rings. That's it.
It's okay.
I cannot get through the first movie. To even watch the next one.
Books were really good. The movies are kind of boring.
I had some issues with that too. Just falling asleep after after the first half hour, maybe
I set a record falling asleep three times during the first movie, and not like three different watchings of it. Like three times in the same watching.
That's what happened with the third movie for me.
I've done that through most of Quentin Tarantino's recent movies.
Ah.
I don't know why.
Guys.
This is like the worst, brutal podcast.
I'm discovering things I don't like about all of you.
I know. Well, Mike, the only way I'll accept that is if you say, but on the other hand, I really love the Hobbit movies, because then I'll throw my mic at.
I watched the
Hobbit.
I love this with Tarantino. At least I really tried. I even will rewatch that movie. Try it multiple times.
Which one did you fall asleep through?
Inglourious Basterds. I hated both Kill Bills. Was awake through Rose. I can't stand them. I don't know why.
You know what?
I love 12 Rooms.
That's the worst one out of all of them.
No. Dusk Till Dawn.
No.
Didn't he do Smoking Aces?
No.
Oh, okay.
That wasn't a good one.
What about Django?
Django.
I made it through that one. I like that one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
The second time I watched it.
Did you say
after I stayed awake? What?
Did you say four rooms?
Four rooms.
Yeah, he directed one of the shorts. It was one of them. Yeah. It was the one with Bruce Willis.
It was the one that he was in,
yep.
Right?
It was actually, the, that makes the finger sense. Off.
That's one of my favorite older movies.
Yeah.
Guys.
It's not that old. Yeah.
It's from 95. It's old.
That's the year before I graduated high school.
Yeah, so.
But Inglourious Basterds, how could you find that boring? Like when he sits down and...
I didn't find it boring.
First half.
I just kept falling asleep.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe I was just too tired when I was watching it.
So you're like, this is amazing, but
I liked it. I really liked the way, you know, the way you present it. You know, I enjoyed it.
I don't know. I have a hard time with that because sometimes when I'm tired, I'll put on like something on my Kindle to like go to sleep to. And I found out no matter how tired I am, I cannot put on Star Trek The Next Generation because it will keep me awake. No matter how tired I am, I'll be up till 3 o'clock in the morning until I realize, oh, I better change it to some different show.
Did you ever watch the Star Trek Next Generation one where Picard, he assumes another life and he lives his entire life?
Yeah, I remember that one.
What was that one called?
I just remember it. Like he was on a planet that, actually it's happened a couple of times. But you're talking about the one where it's like super peaceful and
yeah, and
like he was all like, you know,
he has
living
his
with
children, grandchildren. He lives an actual life, and then it's like, hey, we were an extinct.
No, I'm thinking of a different one even, because there was another one where they were kind of.
That's where they would like transfer the history of their people.
Yeah,
to
yeah, them. Exactly. Yeah,
I remember that one vaguely. I don't remember what it's called. I just like two or three when they first put Star Trek on Netflix, I went through and I watched them all, and I just started watching them all again. Lieutenant Yar just died from the black slime puddle.
Oh, so, yeah, is that the, like the first puddles. Season?
Yeah, that's still the first season, I think. And I'm wondering, like, why did they kill her? Like, because that's like kind of a dumb death, and they just like removed her. Like, was she having contract issues?
Probably.
Did she, like,
I know. From what I understand, she was. They were really trying to make it a lot like the original Star Trek, because you also know it's kind of the theme. Of the entire series slightly changes at that point. But she didn't think, she thought the show was stupid, it wasn't going to go anywhere, and she wanted out.
Yeah, usually during the 90s shows, people didn't die for artistic reasons. It was mostly, yeah. Oh, I want to leave. And they're like, okay, fine. And yeah. It wasn't that's like okay. Game of Thrones where they're like, we have it planned out, you need to die. Sorry, it's in the contract, yeah. But this is a good story.
I like that it happened because I don't like her as a security officer. I liked Worf way better.
Worf is
better
awesome.
Chores, but. But it, just watching it again, like, I never really thought about it before, but there, I was like, that's just dumb. And I remember she came back later,
because
they went, there was like a time travel one, and she came back.
Where,
and
yeah,
Whoopi
the
Goldberg
war.
Is like, I know you died for like a useless reason. And she's like, oh, bummer.
Yeah. But, so, I'm conflicted. I try to watch those episodes, and I like Star Trek. It's just... I really need a contiguous plot, like something that is just novelistic. I don't like episodic.
Well, they didn't really do continuous plots back then.
Not
really.
As much, yeah.
I mean, so, they'd have like
Deep Space Nine and series. Babylon 5 were probably the first ones at the time to really do the giant story.
Babylon 5.
Dallas kind of had one. It was more episodic, though.
Dallas?
What's Dallas?
Dallas did one. Twin
Peaks
Dallas
did
that, too.
Yeah, but that is
Twin
a soap
Peaks,
opera.
That's true.
But the soap opera is transferring into nighttime TV.
Hey, Twin Peaks isn't a soap opera.
It was a miniseries.
It was a satire of a soap opera.
Yeah, that's
oh, but I also think a lot of people started liking those instead of the bad guy of the week or resolved by the end of the episode.
Yeah.
Which we still have those shows nowadays. They're fun to go watch, very fun to walk into in the middle of. You don't have to really invest anything, but there's those that are the epics that, you know, like Game of Thrones. People love their Game of
Black
Thrones.
Black Mirror is that, well, and also, Sherlock, it does have, like, its contained episodes, but they still kind of have a through line.
Mm-hmm. They kind of follow, like, the books. You know, each book, you know, Sherlock books were even kind of, like...
And self-referencing. Mm-hmm. Well, there's only four books, but... Four Sherlock. Yeah, because mostly it's the short stories. But, yeah Black Mirror is the ideal, like, it's a self-contained episode, but most of the time, almost entirely, unless it's a comedy show, I really like a strong novelistic narrative.
Have you watched Bob's Burgers?
Mm-hmm.
Do you like that?
Yeah.
Because there's not really a strong narrative, but what happens episode to episode does affect and it stays static. It's kind of subtle at first, but like you notice that like people characters from previous episodes will come back and like affect him in some way, or like the bathroom gets changed and it stays changed and then like he ends up getting glued to it or something like that.
Well, yeah, they do the same with Archer, and so I do like the continuity things.
Yeah, so but like the stories aren't connected in any way, shape or form, and they're always finished by the end of the episode, whatever. So
yeah, like pretty much anything with H. John Benjamin.
I know.
I'm not a huge fan of Archer. I mean, it's okay, but and I like there's some really good quotables from it. Like,
yeah, that's you, know, you want you ants,
that's how you get ants. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I say that at home all the time, like because someone will leave the back door open and we have this cat that will come into our house every chance we get. I'm like, you want cats? This is how we get cats.
Well, the Archer writing reminds me of, have you seen anything by Shane Black like Kiss Kiss Bang Bang and The Nice Guys and, well, Lethal Weapon?
I watch Lethal Weapon.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just like that witty back and forth. Yeah, that it doesn't feel planned. It feels a little chaotic, but just works.
That's like, what is it? Rick and Morty is kind of like that.
Yeah.
Rick and Morty a lot.
Don't they record their stuff and then write the script after they recorded it? And I think
I don't know.
I think
process.
They do a little more on the fly. They like do a whole bunch of stuff just off the cuff and then like pick what's best and fill in the holes from there.
Well, that's another season that's probably going to be coming out pretty soon.
I know. There's a lot of good shows. So.
Leftovers, season 3.
The final season.
Yeah.
Are you going to
watch
it?
Seems like they're going to wrap everything up.
It's the apocalypse. I can't wait.
Is South Park starting up again?
It should be.
Yeah.
Game of Thrones is also coming closer.
July.
In the summer, yeah.
South Park is another one that's gone kind of like series, but each one is an episode. Like you can watch them individually, but they greatly affect the one.
Well, as they were going along,
they
definitely
have their
were.
Long stories and stuff. Yeah.
Some seasons do that, some don't. I like there was one season where they were like super topical. Like they had stuff in the episode that happened that same day, which is amazing for an animation. But I mean, it's all computer generated. It's a lot easier when the animation's super crappy.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But that's still pretty impressive that they could pull that stuff off. I'm sure it just drove the network crazy, though. They're like, we're not done yet.
Oh,
air in an hour and a half.
Yeah, I know. 7 days to air. They talk about
that.
But they're literally running it to, you know, Comedy Central like minutes
right
before it's supposed to air.
And they've only missed it once.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they've only been it's only been kicked off the air once too.
It was kicked off the air?
Well, like, the episode wasn't allowed. They showed a rerun. It was the...
This is the Muhammad one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Super Best Friends.
Oh.
No, it is a different one.
No, it was a different one, but they had... Yeah.
Huh.
Because that's his first appearance in Super Best Friends, Muhammad. And
no, that's what was funny, because they actually showed him in Super Best Friends. Yeah. The other one was just, like, hiding him in bear suits, and then that got banned.
Probably because they're like, we just need numbers.
Yeah. Isn't that the one with David Blaine? Like,
He goes, and then the Super Best Friends,
Well, we should probably hit our sponsor and then talk about some more movies.
Okay.
So our sponsor is AMC Pine Ridge 11. We get 4355 Yellowstone Avenue in Chubbuck, Idaho. And they have their Stubbs Reward Program, where you can get $5. When you pay the $15 a year, you get $5 off your ticket every Tuesday. If you sign up for the free one, you get $2 off. For every 5,000 points you get $5 back. And you get a free upgrade for your sodas and popcorns if you have the Premier program. And you get a free popcorn and soda on your birthday.
Yay, birthday!
Yep.
Bill, I noticed their Big D night showing tickets are cheaper than Carmike, so that's the one thing is it's better already.
There you go. Look at that. So you can see cheaper movies.
Yeah.
And get the points. And then spend those points on more food and stuff and snacks.
Bill, are you a premium guy?
Yes. I already got my first $5. And you can save them. I'm thinking about saving it. It's like rainy day movie watching.
Yeah, that's right.
So I got to say, before we move on to the movies and stuff, ISU has a guy coming there. I think his name is Garrison Keillor. And nobody knows who he is, like in my group of friends and everything, but it's from Prairie Home Companion.
Oh.
They showed on NPR.
I didn't realize this, that was
So the guy retired some years ago. It's like K-I-E-L-E-R or something like that. He's coming in April, and I'm pretty stoked about it, but like nobody knows who he is or what a prairie
Ted,
home companion is.
I didn't know when you first mentioned him, but as happenstance would have it, I ended up listening to him the very next day.
Did you?
Yeah.
You turned on NPR and they were, yeah.
I like Prairie Home Companion. I used to listen to that a lot way back.
Yeah. Yeah. So apparently he's coming to ISU in April. And I've been thinking about getting tickets.
On April 5th.
April 5th. Man, I got to get tickets quick.
Yeah.
If I want to go. But yeah, like, that's pretty exciting. I don't know what he'll be doing or whatever, because he retired from a Prairie Home Companion. But he's got the most soothing voice of, you know, any of the radio people. But yeah, pretty exciting. If you like the Prairie Home Companion, there's still time to snag that.
I love, I just looked it up, and the top story is Trump would be better human being if he'd ever held a hoe, according to that guy.
Well, he is like, yeah, kind of super conservative old way.
I have no idea what Prairie Home
Companion.
Whatever, yeah, Prairie Home Companion is. So
it's a radio show that's been going on for freaking ever.
Yeah, like since your grandparents were children.
Oh, okay. And this guy's been hosting it for, I mean, when I was a kid, when I was like, you know, grade school age, I traveled a lot. And so we'd be in the car and we'd hit like on the weekends, like Saturday or Sunday, we'd catch this and it would be going on and we'd just be listening to it. So, but yeah, it's I don't know. It's a big deal for me. But I still haven't bought the tickets because I went to Vegas and I wasn't sure how much money I would have left and I still might not go, which kind of sucks, but
no,
but yeah. So if you guys want to, you can send money to
Geeks Are Wired.
That's right.
@gmail.com.
Mail it in a nice envelope.
Yes. If all else fails, do a Kickstarter. Send me to Garrison Keillor.
You've got.
Oh, actually, we do have a Patreon page. All other stuff.
So, anyway, kind of,
yeah, that's pretty cool.
Just Google the Patreon. Google
just Geeks Are Wired.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's in the Stephen Performing Arts Center, so it's got some room in the main concert hall.
It looked like the tickets were like $50 or something like
that. Oh, there's 15. Like, and see, if you want to sit right up front, $59.24. If you're okay sitting in the back balcony, $48.59. So it's like $50, $60 bucks, depending on where you want to sit.
Yeah.
How much does it cost to listen to this little speech on the radio?
That's the nice thing about radio.
It's free.
No, yeah. I'm saying this speech. I just want to sit out in the parking lot and listen to it on the radio.
Yeah, not happening. There you go. So like $50 or $60 bucks.
What's the security like if you want to break in? And
just it's probably pretty light. It's just public safety.
Yeah, they're not even real cops.
Exactly.
Tell them that.
No. Anyways, a little segue, sorry.
Yeah, I don't know. It's totally cool.
They actually get mad when you tell them that.
Yeah, I know. Especially after they've just pulled you over.
Exactly. I'm going to be like,
on a public street.
I've never seen them actually pull somebody over.
I got pulled over by them before.
And you stopped?
The thing behind
it. It's a yellow light.
Well, that's the thing. Is you on public streets or on private property, they are allowed to stop you. Because they own that property. But a lot of the roads aren't theirs.
There's no private property, though, at ISU. It's all public campus.
Okay. Okay, what I'm talking about, like, the roads, the actual roads there, that's public. That is city property.
Yeah.
I'm talking about, like, on your way to Fraser Hall. That road is ISU property.
Yeah, I know.
They can give you a ticket on that.
Yeah, that's where they pulled me over, is the little loop around Bartsfield.
Oh, yeah. The little 25-mile-an-hour.
Yeah.
That yeah, if somebody turns on a yellow flashing light behind me, I'm just going to keep going.
No.
You slow down and pull to the side of the road to let them pass?
I actually speed up and kind of like weave to make sure they just stay behind me.
Stick your hand out the window. Go around!
Exactly.
All right, Mike. You saw The Shack.
I, unfortunately...
For us.
And I regret every second that I was in that theater.
I saw him running on water. Was that Jesus with him?
Actually, yes, it was Jesus with him.
I have to watch this.
I know.
So
Sam Worthington.
It is really kind of like What Dreams May Come revisited, where he has a tragedy. His daughter dies in this really horrific way. and his whole family is really having a hard time dealing with it, but his daughter was kind of under his watch, and so he was having the hardest time with it. And it just, like, it literally goes into, he goes to the shack where his daughter was killed, and the he finds the trinity of the Holy Spirit.
All three gods.
Well, all three versions of God.
The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Yeah, all three of them.
So it is a very, very come-to-Jesus movie. Like, there is no joke about it. There's no nothing. It is very much, I am God. I will preach to you through the entire hour and a half or 2 hours, whatever it was. And so, yeah.
Did you ever watch God Is Not Dead?
I watched that.
I haven't seen that one yet.
Oh, it's, I was going to ask you which was better.
Made me so furious about atheists. Yeah. Why? Oh, why won't they witness the truth?
No, because it was okay because they converted the atheist. And
right at the end. So Tana's dying.
There's some Left Behind, and it's that style of movie.
Listen, there's an EMT behind me trying to get in, but it's important.
You got to convert.
Yeah, you got to convert.
Mike, I'm just going to wait for the parody, The Love Shack.
I think that's already out. That's why you watch Dogma. That God is the best God. You just can't listen to her. It is a her.
Alanis Morissette.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and that's the thing is, God in this movie, for most of it, is a woman, too.
Oh, yeah?
It's played by the same lady from the Hidden Figures.
Oh, the Octavia. Oh,
lady.
Wait,
yeah,
that's not, isn't that lady from That's So Raven show?
Probably.
Oh, so
oh, wait, no, she's older. She's the one from The
so
Help, isn't she?
There's her, another lady who's younger.
And they just look really young.
There's another lady who's younger who plays the Holy Spirit of God. So, like, she is the, I don't think so.
It's the child.
That's the kid. That's her.
Oh.
That's the one that plays, like, God as the Holy Spirit, and then there's the lady from Hidden Figures is God as God,
mm-hmm.
and then there's a guy, a black guy, who's Jesus.
Oh, he's not black. That is not black.
He's Middle Eastern.
Yeah.
Oh, Middle Eastern.
They finally got it right.
Yeah, I know.
That's right, because they do make that joke about how he was Arab. So, but yes, he was the Jesus character, and they all three exist in the shack, and it's just like a whole lot of stuff happens that converts him over or back to.
They bring him back.
Yeah.
Graham Greene is also God.
He's the male version.
Yeah.
How about that?
So there is one part where he needs a father figure, and so God walks with him as a guy, and that's him for that like 5 or 10 minute segment.
Okay.
Mike, how'd you end up watching that instead of Logan?
My mom drug me there.
Okay.
She's in town. She was listening. She was in town and she drugged me there. She's like, I have to go see The Shack and you're going. I'm like,
eh. Was the Tim McGraw song magical too? I know he probably wrote one, didn't he?
Sure. I don't remember. It's a blocked out hour and a half of my life now.
It's like part of their contract. If you're a singer, as an actor, they're like, you have to write a song because we know you can't act.
So well, it was either Sarah McLachlan or Tim McGraw.
You know, the worst part is you said an hour and a half, but that's actually 2 hours and 12 minutes.
So oh, okay.
You may have lost some time there.
I know.
You may have been programmed.
You and your fugue state.
Was there any after credit?
I don't think so. I don't know.
You're like, I didn't check. I was out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would have walked out of that movie. Quick. I would have left my mom all alone.
just walked into Logan.
Yeah.
Too bad they aren't making good religious movies. Like, The Ten Commandments, that's a good movie. I like it.
Which one?
The Charlton Heston one.
Oh, not the new one?
Was there
a new one? Oh, yeah.
I will say this about this movie. The imagery Batman. Was great.
Oh, yeah, like Gods of Egypt. Or no, the not good.
It's Exodus.
Exodus.
And then also Agony and Ecstasy. There are lots of good.
What about movies. Noah, the Ark movie?
Noah?
I like that movie. Yeah.
I liked my golems.
No, it was so, fun because it was like the awesome. Mythology movie.
Yeah.
What about BC?
So I was.
I like BC.
I was watching this YouTube
Jack
video. It's like 6 hours long and it's called The Genesis Theory. And he's talking about Nephilim and all this stuff, like fallen angels, and goes into like the Christian mythology that's more like mythology that you never hear about outside of like these people. Mm-hmm. Like, because they
out of the super dogma
they
group,
used the non, well, they, no, he was serious about it. They used the non canon, like the book of Magda and all these other books that the Catholics didn't decide were part of the
apocryphal
Bible. Yeah, so these aren't. Yeah, the apocryphal, exactly. So they use all these other books to like prove their stuff, and so there's a lot more like stuff that does sound like more like mythology and whatnot. So like after hearing that, I kind of want to go back and watch Noah again, yeah, because it actually included stuff from those books.
Well, yeah, that's why it hurt. Like about. The golems were more of a mythos.
No, yeah, those movies, I always call it, I'm waiting for the third one. That's like the atheist religious movies, because mm-hmm. it's made by two atheists and they treated it like mythology. That's why everyone was pissed. Like if you're a Christian, you didn't like Noah.
Well, it is really
disappointing. Darren Aronofsky really was not making it at all. That's why he wouldn't even call it God. He was treating it like Thor in the Marvel movies.
I wish.
Well, like, have any of you guys seen Bill Nye's walk through the Ark experience?
No.
That was rather interesting.
Because
He actually does it with Ken Ham. Like, he and Ken Ham walk side by side through it.
I was like, what Ark? I was thinking, like, Arch. Ark. I was like, what Arch? Like, oh, no, the Ark, the abomination in Kentucky.
Yeah.
Wait, I got a good religion movie. Right. History of the World, Part 1.
That's a great religion movie.
Yeah.
You mean Life of Brian. Right?
Well, I
know. No, History of the World, Part 1. Better.
I love when Noah comes down, or not Noah, whoever, the tablets guy.
Abraham,
thank you. I'm totally blanking. He's like, I have these 15, crap, 10 commandments.
Did you say Abraham instead of Moses?
Moses, that's the guy.
I'm not good with my Christian mythology, my bad.
Or other... Some of them, too.
Well, it's too bad.
Those people take their fandom way too far, by the way.
Yeah.
Well, I'm fine with people objecting to these things because they feel that it doesn't treat their beliefs seriously and everything. And they don't have to watch it. I was disappointed that the crowd that is not of that viewpoint, they also mostly found Noah disappointing. And so,
Jordan, didn't you try and join the church? The Mormon church?
Well, for their underwear.
The magical underwear.
You know, there's a website where non-Mormons can buy those.
There you go. Well, I wanted to do it. I wanted to earn my stripes.
You wanted to earn the underwear.
Because you can buy anything online. It's the cheap way to... I wanted to take the golden path. Yeah.
But Jordan drew the line at like money. As soon as they asked for the 10%, he's like, I'm sorry, guys. I can go to the church.
Get around that.
I can do that, but you're not getting my money.
What you should have told him, Jordan, is that you're a student and you're taking on debt every year.
They don't care.
And so they owe you 10%.
They don't care. Like, no, they don't. They just want your money.
Off the top.
Like, you can't.
Yeah, but if you're not taking it, if you're losing money every year.
No, it doesn't matter. If you made money, it doesn't matter that you're also losing money.
Yeah, it's pre-expenses, taxes, everything.
No, I know.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying is your income is negative dollars.
No, they don't see it that way. You're still getting an income.
Yeah.
It's just 10% more negative.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You've made money.
Exactly. They're like, charge an extra 10% to your credit card.
It's too bad. I actually enjoy it. They're really nice and welcoming. And, I mean, they didn't know that I was doing it for the underwear. So. But that probably would have been a problem if they found out. And we parted on good terms. I was like, good luck, guys.
Yeah.
I'll pray for you. And they thought that was pretty awesome.
So you made them cry.
I did make them cry. Yeah, I did a super awesome prayer.
Jordan, you're a horrible person.
All right. Well, I love this. We'll spoil one last movie when we're leaving.
Okay.
Kong. Skull Island.
Oh, yeah.
I heard there was a giant donkey in there.
No, just giant snakes with arms.
He's a gorilla. Get it right.
But this isn't Donkey Kong?
No.
No, that's the next movie.
Donkey Kong's still not a donkey.
Don't tell Ted that.
Yeah.
I don't understand. He just did.
Too late. No take backsies. All right, what do you guys think of Kong?
It was enjoyable.
Yeah, I ended up watching it again because I went to Pennsylvania and everyone else wanted to watch it. So.
There you go.
Yeah.
Like everybody in Pennsylvania?
Yeah, everyone watched that movie.
Wow. I mean, I know states are small.
It was the Battle of the Beasts. Yeah.
I think the Donkey Kong part of, what was it, Bits?
Pixels.
Pixels. That's the one. Oh, yeah. What? Pixels. It was better. No. I don't know.
So this is actually, okay. So you guys thought that lizard guy, I mean, Godzilla was better.
No, I didn't.
No.
This is
better. Okay. Because you, at the end of the movie, you said you thought Godzilla was better.
No.
No.
You said totally said that.
Those were never uttered by either of us.
You totally did.
I said this one was way better.
I like this one better.
No.
No. So okay. We're all on the same page, Bill. Okay, I know it shocks you because we're usually snobby and disagree with you at every turn. But
Pacific Rim?
Yeah, I like Pacific. I like Pacific Rim better than this movie, but yeah. I did like this movie. I like Nick Fury being more furious.
Yeah,
he was really furious in this movie.
Yeah.
Wait, Jack Black was in this one, right?
No, that's the lesser one. I don't like the Peter Jackson one. That one's bad.
I'm confused.
So did they actually call him Nick More Furious in this movie?
I wish they had.
No, this one, it belongs to the Godzilla movie because they're building their cinematic universe out of it with monsters.
Are they bringing in the whole Iron Man stuff?
What?
No.
Isn't that Nick Fury?
It's,
no.
I was joking about...
No, this is Sam Jackson.
I was like... Wait, am I crazy here?
No, it's just because it had Samuel Jackson. He's the angry.
This is the comedy guy. Relief is John C. Reilly.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Him and Jack Black, they're like the same person, really.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly.
There's points,
but
yes.
That's the comedy relief, right? He's like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He's like bumbling, but somehow has survived for a long
he
time.
He is a World War II fighter pilot that has been crashed on there for 30 years?
They handled it good, though, because he was living with the villagers, so they kept him alive.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, but Bill, what I said is because I was worried about this movie because they said, like Godzilla, that King Kong was barely in it, but he is way more in this movie than Godzilla is in Godzilla.
It was really, they used him well.
Yeah.
It's pretty fun seeing him in action.
I did like they didn't do like the old style and just cage him up and bring him back to New York.
I know.
But they gave him nods with the chains, with her falling off the top of the mountain.
Well, and he's way bigger than the Peter Jackson one because they made him because he's going to be with Godzilla.
Yeah.
So because a regular King Kong is not that big, especially like the 30s one, because this King Kong, if he was on the Empire State Building, he'd just knock it over.
True. he would stand next to the Empire State Building.
And planes wouldn't be enough to kill him either. He just destroy him like he did all the helicopters.
But in all fairness, the original Godzilla or King Kong, the planes were like the most powerful thing they had to do anything with.
Yes, and now?
Like, they could have brought a ship in, but now we have like rockets and all
nukes.
Kinds of lasers and
nukes. Yeah, we're going to nuke New York.
Yeah, I was going to bring up nukes, but yeah.
And this had a pre or a mid-credit scene and an after credit scene, and the after credit is where they tied in all the others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, isn't there like a pit of dinosaurs or something? Is that where Godzilla is coming from?
Okay. So what it is this is the Hollow Earth theory.
Okay.
Yeah.
And in the Hollow Earth live other creatures that are older than the human race.
Are the Titans in there?
They're emerging. We don't know what's
there,
in there.
Hey, there's stuff in there.
Yeah.
But that's
why
the thing.
Why would there be a football team in there? How are they supposed to play? You're not making sense.
Denzel Washington's like, we remember you guys. Yeah. Come on out.
That movie's literally the only reason I know that there's a team named the Titans.
But Skull Island is one of the places where the Earth is thin. Mm-hmm. So these things come out of it. And the reason why it's found, because there's a permanent like tornado around this island. That's why no one's ever gone to it. Or if you get too close, you crash in the island and that's the end of you.
Wasn't that the same thing with the Jurassic Park island?
Actually, I did feel much Jurassic Park. I was expecting the theme to come up. No, that one was okay with the Jurassic Park.
No, but around Jurassic Park, there was always a storm. And that's why nobody ever went to that island.
No, there was just a lot of storms. It was just an island and someone bought it.
He bought it and he put the dinosaurs on it.
No, not like the third rendition of Jurassic Park.
I'm talking about the very first one. He bought the island, he put dinosaurs on it.
Yeah, there were no storms.
There was never
there was a storm that caused the disaster. Like,
well, because somebody shut down all the security.
Yeah, all the security stuff. So.
He was being the mischievous.
But I'm not. I'm talking
guy.
About the one where all the dinosaurs just exist on the island now. Like, they've broken out, and they're all loose, and they're...
Like the second or third?
Yeah, it was like the third
Lost World or Land of the Lost?
No, that was Lost like World, Site B, Lost but World. They still owned it, though. It was part of the company.
But I thought like there was a constant, you know, cloud and storm around the island.
I don't acknowledge it. Let's go with that. I do not acknowledge it. I'm just going to go with that. I don't remember it.
Yeah, similar premise is what
but
I'm saying.
But they found this island because in the 70s, satellites came around, mm-hmm. and a U.S. satellite went over it. John Goodman is like, hey, I want to, you know, I want to take a look at this island. He works for an organization that deals with...
And that ties it to the Godzilla, because it's a monarch.
Yep.
And I cannot see John Goodman the same ever since I watched that, what is it, 27 Cloverfield Lane or whatever? The bunker, where he's in the bunker and everything. Oh my gosh, he was so frightening in that movie.
Oh, he's a giant a-hole in this one. His entire plot is he wants Kong dead because he's the lone survivor of a giant boat that Kong basically destroyed.
Well, I'd want him dead too.
Yeah, he just worries about the
human race.
Yeah,
maybe he just needs to fall in love with Kong, and then Kong will get turned back into a person.
That's what I was gonna say. Brie Larson tried to kiss Kong, and he didn't turn back into a human.
Way to bring it back to the bestiality. Good job, Ted.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Yeah, it was a fun movie though. I'll keep watching them. They're gonna do their other ones. Hopefully the next Godzilla will be better because I won't have stupid Gareth Edwards directing it. But
did Jamie watch this one?
No, I haven't watched Kong yet. We're not huge King Kong folks. We're kind of thinking about watching it, but meh.
It's because you're skinny now.
Are you going to watch Power Rangers?
I am.
I'm starting to think about it. The reviews are looking pretty good.
Bill is the only one going.
I don't want to like the Power Rangers movies, but the effects look not bad. And I think that's the main complaint. The main problem I had with Power Rangers is that the effects on that TV show were so horrible that I could not suspend disbelief. Like, the plots kind of suck too, but it was a kid's show, you know, so the plot's going to suck. But the effects and those stupid costumes, and they couldn't fight very well, and it was like, so I was just, it just made me want to kill myself every time I watched them. My little brother loved them. And I'd come home and he'd be watching it, and I tried to change his channel, and I'd get yelled at, and it was just, so I freaking hate that big bad Beetleborgs, and oh my god.
I know.
Okay, so I have to premise this with the fact that my brother was really into Transformers, but I actually watched Power Rangers as a kid for a while.
You're dead to me.
I know.
I watched Voltron growing up, so when Power Rangers came out, I just saw it as a giant ripoff.
Yeah, I watched Lionel and Transformers and things like that, but Power Rangers was like...
You mean Thundercats?
Thundercats, thank you.
The
Lionel show.
Yes! He had his own show, okay?
Did you watch Silverhawks?
No.
I watched Silverhawks.
There we go, yes.
Yeah, Power Rangers was kind of like the tail end of that era for me.
What about Mask? You ever watch Mask?
The movie or the TV show?
The TV show.
Yeah.
I watched the movie
with Jim Carrey.
I never
got into the TV show.
There was two movies called Mask, but the TV show was like a ripoff of Transformers and G.I. Joe. It was like this weird amalgamation, and they had they instantly went to like marketing with it. They're like, we'll make a cartoon about rad toys that we can make. So it was like cars that the doors would pop open like the DeLorean, and they had missiles on the wings and turned into jets and stuff. It was a cool
thing. I actually think I remember that.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It, like, I was poor. I lived in like Muskegon, Michigan, like with all these rich kids. So they all had all the toys, and I could afford my parents got me the motorcycle that turned into the helicopter. Because it was like $15. So it was, and like all my friends had all the, like the whole sets and everything, and they had their portable Castle Grayskulls and everything. I'm a little bitter.
Hey, no. I got a portable Castle Grayskull thanks to the DI.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. 30 years later.
No, it was only like five.
Say, 30 years later, it'd probably be worth something. Yeah.
It was like five, maybe 10. I was still collecting He-Man toys at that time.
So last week?
No, I've given up on He-Man. I'm going on other things.
Oh, okay.
He-Man is on Netflix now.
The original?
Yes.
The new one?
Yes.
Dolph Lundgren?
No, not the original.
Not the movie,
also,
the TV show.
The movie, it always bugged me that they were vegetarians for some reason. Like,
were they?
They just, because they were eating fried chicken, and they're like, well, how does this food get on this white sticks? And then Man in Arms is like, oh, that's meat. Well, and they're like, oh,
yeah,
but
they're heroes.
No, I watched the cartoon. They eat meat.
Yeah.
Well, in the movies, they're good guys.
What? Are you talking about Power Rangers?
No, He-Man.
I was like, oh, He-Man.
Yeah. No, I think the Power Rangers are meat eaters.
Yeah.
So wait, one last question.
Does anybody remember Captain Planet?
Yeah.
All right. That was the show.
Anna loved that show.
I did watch it a lot.
I have the comic book.
I am not surprised, Bill.
Is it made on recycled paper?
Not even a little bit.
I don't know. I didn't open it, pull it out of the plastic bag. I let it suffocate and die. Well, actually, I got two.
Kind of like my prom date.
Actually, Bill, what you should have done is you should just throw it in a landfill.
Ah, yes.
Do an ET.
Covered it in oil and threw it in the landfill.
All right, so we should wrap things up. For Mike's sake, feel free to contact us, and you could be on a future episode with your question. You call 801-896-GEEK, or if you want to do the numbers instead of the
words. Oh, I'm sorry. 801-896-4335.
There you go. Or you can email us at geeksrwired.
Call and tell me how wrong I am about something.
Or just ask a question.
Or, everything. Yeah, just ask a question.
Yeah.
Or talk about how Ted sucks.
I don't know. I'm pretty awesome.
I know. You put it in the show notes.
Exactly.
And yet we have yet to talk about it.
Ted?
You're like, did you love the Shack? You should call in.
Yeah. Do you think Ted is awesome or just kind of mediocre?
I like tapioca.
Yeah.
That means mediocre.
Ah. Yeah. So we'll go with everyone's famous last words. Alex.
If you want to see the best moment in Power Rangers history, go to YouTube and type in Power Rangers Turbo Ranger Pizza and watch it. It's like less than a minute as the it's you will thank me. It's pretty great.
Jordan?
Are Power Rangers Rangers with power, or is it sort of a span of power, like they're ranging in power, they're Rangers, people who range. It's kind of ambiguous, don't you think?
They range in their power. It's like, so the black one's pretty strong, the green one's like, okay.
It's pretty variable. Yeah. All right.
The pink one can jump pretty high, but, yeah.
So is that your final words, Joe?
No, I was going to say, I'm going to go to a different movie.
Ted is plain, just like the pudding he said. Tapioca, that was it.
That's all, folks.
If you want to watch a horrible video, you could just Google Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen pizza song on YouTube or whatever. I guess you can't Google it on YouTube, but anyways.
Actually, isn't that the same? Since it's owned by Google.
Google owns it, but you're not technically Google. I guess you could Google it and it would come up with a... if you click the video tab, whatever. No. I think this has gone on too long. I'm stopping now.
Well, Joe, I am going to go watch it tonight.
No way.
Well, that's tonight.
Yep, tonight.